Hi, I'm Ken Mingus. This is Mingus on Tech, and today we're going to talk about CES, the Consumer Electronics 2016 show, which recently ended. The one thing I'm trying to figure out with Marion and Keith here today is whether or not CES, as it gets bigger and bigger every year, means less and less to people who are trying to track down technology and figure out what's going on. The show, as you know, is in Las Vegas, and Marion oversaw our coverage over the last few years at Computer World. Keith has been to the show. You've been to the show, right?
Yeah, for 10-plus years.
Right,
yeah.
Right, and has tracked it. And so I'm just trying to figure out, am I wrong? I mean, does CES have any meaning anymore in terms of identifying technology trends? Or
I think it gives you the sense of the overall sense of where the market is. I think you can always tell some of the big trends, and I think Marion can kind of jump in on what trends that she saw this year. But when you're on the ground, you don't see that at all.
It's too big, right?
Yeah, it's too big. It gets too busy, and you lose sense. It's almost like that forest for the trees analogy. It's only when you step back that can you see kind of the big trends of the year. When you're on the floor, it's just you just see, ooh, cool, shiny. You just see this little gadget.
Yeah. I think CES has sort of become the Super Bowl of electronics. There's a lot of hype and there's a lot of marketing, but overall the show isn't like the big game. Talking to my reporters out there, Matt Hamlin and Barbara Krasnoff, there were four areas that got their attention. The major one, I think, was the Internet of Things.
Yep.
I saw
a lot of IoT stuff pop up.
Yeah, exactly. Everything had sensors or cameras or beacons embedded in them. As a matter of fact, CES had 4,000 companies exhibiting this year, and 1,000 of those companies had some involvement with Internet of Things.
How many? 1,000?
1,000 of those companies.
So basically a quarter of the companies that were there were all IoT related.
Okay. Yeah,
and we're seeing like almost some feedback or bounce back or negative.
Backlash.
Thank you. About the whole IoT thing. I know that JR wrote about.
Well, what was the Bluetooth-enabled pregnancy test?
Yeah, there was that.
Who needs a Bluetooth-enabled pregnancy test?
The whole Samsung refrigerator thing about the idea of
your refrigerator can order your food.
You know, your fridge is going to be in your house for 10 years or more, but the hardware in it can't get updated.
Matt asked them about that, and they said, no, the hardware is not updatable. I mean, not the IoT stuff. So, I mean, who wants 10-year-old IoT technology in their home in 2025?
I mean, the more exciting thing about IoT is how the data interacts with each other. What kind of benefit can a consumer get when device A is talking to device B?
Well, there was a lot of that in health and fitness apps. They had apps that will track your blood pressure, your heart rate. There was even one that claims to be able to track how much body fat you burn by measuring your breath.
I need that one. I want that one.
By measuring your breath. Whether it's going to work, who knows?
It
measures your breath and can tell you how much body fat you burn by measuring some kind of
sort of a breathalyzer. It's a breathalyzer for fat.
I thought you burp into it, and then all of a sudden it tells you your body fat. Uh-huh. I saw the one that you put onto your muscles, and it gives you the muscle rate or your body fat rate, and that just depresses me because I don't want to do that. But there's the fitness enthusiasts out there that will love that kind of device. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger issue for a lot of people, whether they're consumers or people working at enterprises, is how do you take all that data and make it meaningful to them?
Right.
Like if I have a Fitbit and I find out that I've done 5,000 steps today and I only did 8,000 or I only did 3,000 yesterday, what does that mean? Where's the analysis
Where does that data go and is it secure?
Yeah.
And who's looking at that? I mean, I'm sure your insurance, your health insurance company would love to look at that kind of data because it gives them all kind of information about you and how to insure you or not insure you or whatever.
But we're not seeing any of that yet either. I mean, we're not seeing any kind of my health insurance company isn't say, hey, use this device, or my doctor isn't saying, oh, let me see your data. It's all at the individual consumer level at this point.
But that's coming. I think that will be coming, and as soon as more data privacy rules are set up, I think that will be used. And it could be a help for people who use those devices and then get a better deal on their insurance as a result.
Yeah.
But moving along, there were, with the IoT thing, there were a lot of drones, big ones, small ones, big ones that were so big you could carry a person in them.
Otherwise known as a mini helicopter.
Yeah.
Right. Or the Jetsons. I mean, that was kind of the video that said,
Judy.
This is what the Jetsons' future was like, was George Jetson driving this little bubble thing.
Yeah.
I think the scary part is that the FAA.
I don't want people in bubbles above me. I don't even want people on the road.
I don't even want
me.
Amazon delivering a box to me with a drone.
The next segment's going to be on drones.
Yeah.
I really want to get into what that's all about. But anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead. But drones are big in the Internet of Things, and companies like Intel and NVIDIA are actually getting more involved in them by producing new technologies and sensors and chips that are going to help avoid collisions, which is one of the key things.
Seeing IoT and drones sort of a confluence there?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So that's another area to watch.
Yeah.
Another thing involving robotics are these personal robots. There was one that was shown this year that got a lot of exposure, and it's a device that is sort of like a personal assistant. Mm-hmm. It has cameras for eyes so that it can actually follow you around your house. It can talk to you. It can tell you the weather, have a conversation. But again, this is very early on. It's not the kind of thing that anyone but an early adopter would want to get.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a lot of practical use.
And do you see kind of a merging between those types of the personal robots merging with things like Amazon's Echo or Alexa?
That was the first thing I thought of, was like a mobile Echo.
Yeah, so I think that you're going to see something combining where you're going to have a robot that can answer stuff for you, but it looks more like a robot rather than just a big can of coffee or big cylinder.
With cameras for eyes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are the robots, do they also have like an IoT connection, or is it a little early for that?
I think yes.
They will eventually.
They will eventually, absolutely.
I mean,
they'll be connecting.
So
they can, you can adjust the temperature in your house, so you can tell your robot it's too hot, make it 65 degrees, and it will tell your Nest a device or whatever to adjust the temperature.
Right. Now that's one of the things exciting from the networking standpoint for Network World covering the IoT space was the Wi-Fi Alliance announcement of the Halo standard.
The new standard,
For the low powered,
that's
going to be IoT and mm-hmm. you're going to start seeing another standard. But until you get that IoT standard that all of these devices can talk to each other, then you'll start seeing movement in. Like right now, there's like six different protocols.
Right.
And again, you're never going to see widespread adoption until you have that back end protocol.
That was announced at CES, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll see if we get some products that actually can, if they all agree and say, all right, we'll use Wi-Fi on this low frequency,
low power frequency.
900 megahertz, I think it is. So. That's exciting from the IoT space. I'm not as high up on some of these devices. Like, I don't need the pregnancy test.
Well, I mean, this sounds like the robotic assistant sounds like grandson of Roomba. Instead of cleaning the house, it walks around with you. But, I mean, think about this. If you're a shut-in or someone with health problems or whatever, and you want to connect that robot to, like, your doctor, because I know something that Lucas Mirian has written about for us at Computer World a lot is telemedicine. And so I could certainly see a connection between the robotics that were, being shown at CES and something like telemedicine down the road. I don't know. Maybe dreaming big. Anyway, didn't mean to interrupt.
There are definitely robots coming along that way that would be a device. Well, there would be machines that would provide company for shut-ins, for people who need who need to socialize with something when there's no family or friends to visit.
Yep.
So that's definitely down the road.
Okay.
But another area, one of your favorites, Ken, is car technology.
I love car tech.
Again, Internet of Things is all over that because you've got these cars that have all these embedded sensors and cameras to watch to avoid collisions and to help map out areas. So leading to
that's the whole vehicle-to-vehicle communication.
Yes,
right?
And also to the self-driving cars of the future.
Never, not going to take my car.
Are you going to
get?
Are you going to get into a self-driving?
I may be the last one with my hands on the wheels. I'm not. I like driving.
You know what's more exciting for me this week was not from CES but from the Detroit Auto Show.
Yeah.
Was the Ford video where they were showing the car driving in snow?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because a self-driving car that can manage snow, slush, and ice, like that would be cool. Except for the fact that every other driver in the
on
the road
will not be doing that. autonomous car may do exactly the right thing, and the three people around you will do the wrong thing, and you still wind up in an accident.
The first time
it
snows
like
in New England.
It's like an all-or-nothing thing. Yeah. You've got to have everybody's autonomous, or maybe no one is. Or I don't see how you do the do both.
But it was good to see an actual video of a car actually self-driving in snow and ice. And
having
slush.
Said that, I mean I recently bought a Honda Accord that has a lot of these technologies that are built into to keep
keep you safe, that steer you back into the lane, that keep the, mm-hmm. the radar cruise control, which keeps you the right distance. Those things are really helpful, and they really do improve safety. You're still driving the car, but there are these, you know, electronic, which some people call them nannies. You can turn them off, but I mean, I don't mind the nannies. That's good. If I'm a little distracted, if I happen to look at something and I drift out of the lane, it'll pull me back. That's an accident that might have happened that won't. So right. I'm fine with that, but I don't want the car to drive itself.
Was there any other car tech that excited either of you other than the self-driving? Yeah, from CES.
No, because I mean, you know, they've talked again about CarPlay and Android Auto, but that's old news now. I mean, that's already showing up in cars.
What about that Faraday FF01 electric vehicle?
Looked like concept car.
Yeah, the concept car looked like a Batmobile.
It does look like a Batmobile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, a great concept. We'll see if they can pull it off.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, how do you do that to scale?
Yeah, I think that's what the overall trend of CES is you got a big splash with that car.
Yeah.
And that company, I mean, that the coverage of that was just through the roof.
Yeah.
But again, once people started looking at it, they're like, oh, you're never going to see
that's
never going to see
gonna
the road.
Happen.
I'm never going to buy it. You know, half of these things that really wow us, we're not going to buy it. We're not going to buy that little Jetsons.
But isn't that the
helicopter.
Point? I mean, just to sort of bring it back to the original question and sort of maybe wrap up. But isn't that the point of CES? It's to take something that may or may not work. I mean, a lot of these things will probably wind up being misses rather than
right.
hits. But you get them out there, you sort of seed the landscape with the technology and the concepts, and then other companies may pick up on what you've developed and run with it. You
sure.
know?
And also, I think that this year you could see definite improvements over the same similar technologies from the previous year. So you know things are advancing, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah. Just quickly, what about your thoughts on VR? Like the Oculus Rift, they made the announcement of $600.
Although pricey.
Very pricey. Yep. You know, Sony's got one. HTC's got one. We saw six or seven different videos of people using the VR
it's
stuff.
Cool.
You know, what were your thoughts on that?
I mean, if you're a gamer, I think it's very cool.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know,
I was thinking too, I mean, there must be ways that you can use virtual reality, maybe training surgeons. You know, something like that. Again, going back to the
healthcare,
nexus of healthcare.
You know,
and
when Google Glass came out, that wasn't technically a VR thing, but
right. You
saw a lot of people in the healthcare industry use that. I'm just thinking field service workers when they're kind of you know, trying to fix something and they've got someone.
Any place that you might need to simulate, you know,
mm-hmm.
it could be useful. But I still think that's another technology in search of a solution.
Do you think it's going to be in the gaming space first?
Definitely gaming first, but also there's possibilities in retail, there's possibilities in communications, there's possibilities in real estate.
Yeah.
So I think that it's just,
estate, good point.
Yeah, I think there's a number of possibilities for its use in industry and in the enterprise, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, and I don't think there's a overarching standard as well, so maybe there has to be something where device A can talk to device B,
right. mm-hmm.
and then the software can work with both without too much difficulty.
Okay, great. So that seems to answer my question.
I wonder what's the retail case for VR? Oh, just shopping, going through and shopping?
Oh, well, you know, imagine trying
really
things on,
shop.
You know, see how you look in a certain outfit or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know. That might. No, that could happen. What I was going to say is...
The fashion plates here.
It sounds like basically the answer to the question is that actually CES is still important. Even if you don't get the blockbuster announcements, it's important to pay attention to the trends. And so that's it. Good. All right. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. That really helps me understand it, and we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Ken.
That's
welcome.
It. Thank you.